You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The brilliant morning sun burst open a beautiful spring day in Galilee. This majestic scene reflected the glorious creation, graphically described in the Song of Solomon. The spring earth was freshly clothed with the tender garment of new growth. Melodious songs of nature, like an orchestra, filled the fresh spring air. In this paradise-like setting, there was absolutely no indication, none whatsoever, that within a few short hours a crucial confrontation would occur. Life and death would meet. They would clash head-on. One would triumph and the other would go crashing down in defeat. One day earlier, Jesus, the Prince of Life, had healed the Roman centurion's servant. And as a result of his ministry of miracles and his powerful preaching of the Word, the Savior's reputation was rapidly growing. Great crowds, numbering sometimes into the thousands, followed him. And now, with the stage set early on this particular spring day, Jesus left the city of Capernaum. Destined he was to meet an opposing force near a cemetery located on the outskirts of a city nicknamed the City of Splendor, the City of Nain. Meanwhile, at the opposite end in the City of Nain itself, the opposition had marshaled its demonic death-dealing forces. The devil, the author of death, had been at work. This vicious father of lies had left a trail of terror and tears. An older woman was a helpless victim. Through an earlier tragedy, she had lost her husband, and now her only son had also died. She was left alone, totally alone. Her grief was so unbearable she could not contain her own emotions. Many people of our generation can identify with this grief-stricken woman. Hundreds of thousands of spouses remain isolated at home, in rest homes, and lie in hospital beds. Their life mate taken away by death. And now, to add salt to the open wound of loneliness, other indifferent family members, searching for more self-centered activities, have maliciously deserted their helpless parents. Let's not forget also the children of our generation. Many of these helpless individuals are now victims of divorce and unhappy homes. In a short five years, 50% or one-half of all family members will be living in difficult, tension-producing step-family relationships. These victims understand also the terrible grief of the widow of Nain. Life for her seemed meaningless. Death was obviously preferred over life, and even another tragedy could in no way have made her situation any worse. Let me read the account from the Bible, Luke chapter 7. Not long ago, the Bible says, Jesus went into a town called Nain. He was accompanied by his disciples and a large crowd. They approached the city gate, and it happened that some people were carrying out a dead man. This young lad was the only son of his widowed mother. The usual crowd of fellow townsmen was with her to grieve. The funeral procession, the Bible describes, the friends of the grieving woman, had been brought together by a common bond. They were grieving over the dastardly deeds of the father of death, the devil. And as this final hour to lay the body to rest for the final time approached, mourners began streaming out of the city following the casket. At the same time, from the opposite direction, another entourage came towards the city. The second group, however, had been summoned together by an altogether different power: the glorious words and miraculous deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of life. The two groups now met. One represented life and the other death. In his compassion, Jesus, the author of life, recognized the grief of the stricken woman. However, behind her bitter, silent tears, the woman failed to recognize her Savior. Jesus was filled with compassion, and he said to the grieving woman, "Do not weep." And then he stepped forward and he touched the bier. Those who carried the transport of death stood still. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the Bible says, the dead man sat up. He began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Please note carefully, this powerful resurrection event was not accepted in a casual way by those who watched. They were momentarily stunned. The Bible points out that when the people saw this, they were gripped with fear. They began to glorify God, and the report, the Bible says, went all over Judea and into the surrounding district. Oh, how you and I sometimes wish today that Jesus would rescue us like He did the grieving woman of Nain. In our hour of trial, in our day of worry, and in our moments of despair, we would welcome this miracle worker. But the fact is this, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, always stands ready to help us. Like a spiritual ambulance, He is prepared at every hour to meet our every need. Just prior to ascending into heaven, the Savior promised all followers. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Today then, even if we remain indifferent, Jesus is never far away. Oh, today may I encourage you to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus the one who brought life and drove out death near the beautiful city of Nain. Oh, acknowledge that Jesus is a good shepherd. Testify to your friends that Jesus is the long-promised Messiah. Live every day with the absolute confidence that all things, even the tragedies in your life, all of them, work together for good to those who love God. In Jesus, defeat is transformed into victory. Yes, rest assured that the concerns that you feel at this hour are never trivial in the compassionate heart of our blessed Redeemer. Your concerns are extremely important, and Jesus considers every one of them one by one. The anxiety and uncertainty regarding your future, all these things are concerns also for the blessed Savior. Jesus is your best friend. Jesus understands exactly how you feel at this hour. And so let Him carry your burdens and depend on Him every day. Lean on Him always. Call upon Him in the day of trouble. He will most certainly deliver you, and then you glorify Him. The great reformer Martin Luther also understood the powerful message in the story of the widow of Nain. Luther stated, "The example of the widow of Nain is pictured before us, so that we should learn that before God, absolutely nothing is impossible." This brings us to another point. We are now in the season of Lent, and members of the church body, which sponsors this gospel program, attend special midweek services. These evening hours of praise and proclamation, which you are also invited to attend, focus on the Savior's own death and glorious resurrection. This momentous event stands at the very center of your eternal destiny and mine. How you and I relate to what took place on a lonely hill outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago will determine whether you and I spend eternity in heaven or whether we spend it in hell. You see, Jesus died on Good Friday according to the Scriptures. He was raised again on Easter morning according to the Scriptures. And as a result of His victory over death, we too can now possess the solid hope of a glorious heavenly resurrection. Oh, so unexpectedly, Jesus came into the life of the widow of Nain. She did not expect any relief for her grief, but within a minute her heart was transformed from grief to joy. Her future was refocused from despair to hope. Likewise, your life and mine, no matter how dark the clouds of worry and despair may be, can be changed. This happens when we permit God's Spirit of cleansing and healing to have His way within us. That great biblical promise must be embraced and never turned away from. For if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Don't fall prey to the greatest of the devil's soul-destroying temptations. Jesus was not merely a religious leader. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. Jesus Christ is indeed God in every sense, and in His perfect life He has done what you and I have failed to do. You see, Jesus' perfection is a substitute for our sins and failures. Jesus' sinlessness is a substitute for our hell-deserving sinfulness. To all who believe and trust in the salvation power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to those individuals are credited Jesus' sin-atoning, life-giving merits. God made Jesus who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, Jesus is without sin, and you and I are sin-filled. When you and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the tables are turned. Jesus becomes a sinner. You and I are declared righteous. And so, my friend, because of this, let your heart be filled with joy through the words of the hymn writer who said, "The gospel shows the Father's grace, who sent His Son to save our race, proclaims how Jesus lived and died, that man might thus be justified. It brings the Savior's righteousness our souls to robe in royal dress. From all our guilt it brings release, and gives the troubled conscience peace." Jesus met the funeral procession outside the city of Nain, and He spoke to the dead boy. The young man immediately sat up. Life had moved in, and death was driven out. And now with great awe and wonder, let us consider this. On the last day, when the Lord will return for judgment and you and I will be present, there's no way to avoid it, Jesus will halt the great funeral procession now taking place around the world. The dead will be brought to life, grief will be driven away, and all who died trusting in Christ shall be granted life eternal. In the Old Testament book of Daniel we read, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt." It was late in the day when the funeral procession met Jesus. Perhaps we can imagine the sun was almost down. And now for all of us, the hour is late. Jesus has come to meet us. Listen again then to the urgent words of the hymn writer. There still is time. The Master's voice still rings. And all His heralds plead, "Oh, hide beneath the covert of His wings against the time of need. The gracious call is still extended. The day of grace is not yet ended. There still is time, there still is time. And what must you do to be part of God's eternal inheritance? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Amen.